All right, I believe we are rolling, yes?
Yeah, we're rolling. We believe we're rolling.
Okay. Thanks, Hank. Hank the engineer here at the James Arnold Taylor podcast.
Hank the engineer, J-John-Pa-Pa-Pa-Pa.
Yeah, okay. He's hitting the buttons. We're, you know, he's learning. For an engineer, how long have you been in an engineer and gone to school for all of that and everything?
Boy, longer than you've been around.
I don't know. I've been around a long time.
Yeah, I've been doing this for years, for decades, and yeah.
Wow, and you're finally getting it.
What does that mean?
Nothing. Okay, welcome to the James Arnold Taylor podcast. We should make some, you know, we've talked, wow, we've had, haven't we had a nice season so far? What are we on, like episode 6, Hank?
I don't know, you gotta ask Billy that.
Oh, Billy, the intern. The intern here at the James Arnold Taylor podcast, he knows everything there is to know. He knows more than I do about the goings on of the James Arnold Taylor podcast. Hey, Billy!
Oh, yeah, yes, Mr. James, yes. You were on season 4, episode 6 of the James Arnold Taylor podcast, and it's very, very, very exciting.
Yes, it is exciting, Billy. Thank you very much for that. And where's my coffee?
I didn't bring you any coffee because you don't drink coffee.
Oh, you're learning. Oh, but look at that. Is that for me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, let me look at that. That is a, can you guess what that is? Well, if you're listening to the James Arnold Taylor podcast, I bet you know what that is. You hear that? That's my mug, my big glass of water. And so you know what that means. We're starting off the day right away with our big glass of water. Hey, cue that little sounder there. Hank, well, Jerry the Music Man, show Hank how to, Jerry is teaching Hank the engineer how to do things. Hit that button right there.
That button right
there. No, not that button.
This one right
there. No, don't. No. Yeah, that's the wrong one. Clearly that is the wrong button. No, the one next one.
This one right there.
Yeah, that.
It's time to drink some water.
See? That's good. Oh, yeah. All right.
Ah, that's good water.
That is good water. Are you drinking water? Are you ready to go for another episode of the James Arnold Taylor podcast? Let's bring in Mr. Announcer Guy to announce the show. That's how you do it, right? If you have a show, you want to have like a big announcer and music and all of that. And that's why we have Mr. Announcer Guy. Mr. Announcer Guy is, boy, you talk about you, Hank. Mr. Announcer Guy has been doing this stuff forever. He's been an announcer on TV and movies and radio and all of that for a long time. Hey, Mr. Announcer Guy!
Yes, James, I've been doing this since before you were born.
I don't know how that's possible since we're the same person.
Yeah, man, I know.
Okay, can you introduce the James Arnold Taylor podcast right now?
Really? Right now? You want me to just go?
Yeah.
Usually you say to do it, and then you end up doing a bunch of other things, and I never get to do it. I gotta wait.
Yeah, I know. But just go ahead right now. Introduce the James Arnold Taylor podcast. Get it going. We're gonna jump right in to season four, episode six. And we're very excited about it.
You're doing it again, man.
Oh, yes, I am. Go ahead and introduce the show.
You sure?
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
No, no, you're fine.
Cure that.
Hey, wait one second. I was just wondering, is that a new tie?
Yeah, man. Can I do the intro?
Sorry. I was just trying to think of something to interrupt you, so it'd be funny, and it
wasn't funny, man.
Okay. Cue that music, Jerry the Music Man.
That's my line.
Oh, sorry.
Cue that music, Jerry the Music Man.
You got it, Mr. Announcer Guy and Jant.
Oh, he included both of us. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's the James Arnold Taylor podcast, talking to myself, the Jantcast. On today's show, Jant's going to talk about something, but I don't know what because he hasn't told me.
Yeah, I haven't figured it out either.
Yeah, man. Now, here he is, the same guy that's doing all the voices you're hearing, including this one, James Arnold Taylor!
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to go now.
And there he goes. He'll be back if we need to drink some water or something, I guess.
It's time.
No, Hank, stop.
What?
I was just saying, if we need to drink some water. No, stop.
It's time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say drink water. I hit the button. I know which button it is now. It's exciting. And
okay, yeah. But it's not time to drink some water. No.
I said
it's not time.
Time what?
To drink water.
It's time.
Stop. Okay, let's just, you know what? Just keep playing it.
Just keep playing it. We'll drink some water. All right. Okay. Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
That's good. That's water. Good.
Yeah, you gotta stay hydrated. Why is it important? Doesn't matter if it's like freezing cold outside or hot outside or just normal lovely day. Drink water.
It's
don't do
time.
It. Don't. No, don't. All right. Take some breaths. Hey, we're all here now. We're here. We're listening to the JatCast. You know, it's kind of weird. I'm just a guy that does voices in cartoons and video games and movies and TV shows and stuff and radio. But that affords me the ability to have a podcast, I guess. I don't know. I hope you spread the word about the podcast. I feel like this place is just a safe haven for all of us to kind of hang out, to breathe, to be part of the JAT Fellowship, as we call it. Because we are a fellowship. We're just a group of people that are trying to get by in life. Isn't that right? I think that's certainly the case for me and for Billy and Mr. Announcer Guy and Jerry the Music Man and Hank even. And all the other announcers. We got other announcers on this show too. We haven't talked to a lot of the folks in a long time. Should we just spend some time on this episode talking to some of the characters on the show? It's been a very long time since we've done that. Let's get on the phone. Hank, yeah, let's dial up. You know what, Billy, you go ahead. I don't trust Hank.
Well, I know how to use the phone.
Sure. Okay. Well, dial up Ferris then at the billiard zone.
How you do that?
Yeah, exactly. Billy, go ahead.
Oh, yes, Mr. James. I'll just hit the button right there. It's on speed dial. See, Hank?
Look at that speed dial. These are really fancy.
Okay. And we're calling Ferris. Ferris is like a wise sage. He owns the local billiard hall here. And, you know, we just kind of check in and, you know.
Billiard zone. Hey, man. What's going on?
Oh, hey. I was just talking about you, Ferris. How are you? Happy New Year to you. I know it's too late for Happy New Year's. I don't know. Ferris, do you know what is like the time frame for Happy New Year's?
Yeah, man. Anytime after January 20th, you're pushing your luck. But if you get into February, that's forget it, man.
Okay, well, I think we're probably well past the Happy New Year's. But it's been a while since I've seen you or talked to you. So welcome back to the show.
Yeah, man, it's all good.
Okay. Are you doing well? The billiard zone doing well? You're doing good business? Are people going out and playing, shooting pool and having a good time there at the billiard zone?
Yeah, man, you know, we get all sorts of folks come out here. We get families, we get the dudes coming out for their dude night, to get the ladies coming out and shooting pool.
Hey, everybody shoots pool. A pool is fun. You know, we have a pool table here in the house.
Yeah, man, I know you don't come out anymore.
No, that's true. We got a pool table. So here's the deal. My wife grew up with a pool table in her house. It was like, you know, like one of these tiny little Sears ones. It was probably 7 feet, if that. But her dad put it, they had a little back house that was like, you know, kind of like a little shed type area, you know, in the back of the house. It wasn't like a big house. They had a small little house, but they had this little back house that was built out. And so her dad put the little pool table in there. And I think the walls were so small, you could barely, you know, it was like that Seinfeld episode where they're trying to play in a regular bedroom and the cues are hitting the walls. But they grew up having a billiard table there. And so my wife and I, in fact, our first pool table, when we were very newly married, I was one of the voices. I don't know if you all know this. If you've seen my stage show, you may know this. I was the voice. I was the second voice of Movie Phone. Mr. Movie Phone, Russ Leatherman, who is, I think he's been on the show. We've had him as a guest. I've interviewed him for another podcast, for my friend Tom Wilson's podcast. Russ Leatherman created Movie Phone. Remember Movie Phone? You would call and find out what's playing at the theaters. This is kind of before the internet just took over. And Movie Phone, I believe, is still on, you know, the internet. You can find what's playing where and all of that. Mr. Movie Phone is Russ. He and a partner created Movie Phone, and he was the voice. And it was,
"Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone."
Now, I was not that voice. I was the voice that told you, like, the theaters and, the, you know, where they were and parking for all that. And then I did all the trailers for Movie Phone.
Yeah, man, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot you're on the phone here, Ferris. I'm telling the story.
That's cool, man. Just keep going.
All right. I was the voice of Movie Phone. And Russ Leatherman calls me up one day and says,
"Hello."
No, he didn't say that. But he said, "James, I have a pool table that we don't have space for anymore. Or we're moving or whatever. And it's, you know, I don't know. Do you want it?" And I was like, "Well, that's great. Yeah, we'd love that." And we had room for it in our house. So we got this pool table, and we had it for many years, and it was great. And then we moved, and we left it because the people that were buying the house wanted the pool table, so we left it there, and we bought a new pool table. And then we moved again, and I gave it to my sister, and then so now she has it. And so then we moved, and we moved, and we've moved a lot. And then when we settled into our new home, we just kept going, you know what? I wish we had a pool table.
Yeah, man, pool tables are cool.
Well, of course, you own a billiard zone. Of course, you think they're cool. So we got a pool table. And we have a stand-up arcade game. And it's got, like, we just got a new one. It's got, like, 60 games in it. It's got Donkey Kong and Pac-Man and Frogger and Space Invaders, all those cool things. Do you have those over at the billiard zone?
Oh, yeah, man. We got video games. We got bowling stuff and the basketball shooting things and all that fancy stuff. You come on out to the billiard zone, you have a good time.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Ferris. So, Ferris, anyways, yes, long way around, we love pool. We love playing pool. My daughter has gotten extremely good at playing pool, better than us now, which bothers me, but that's another story for another time. Did you, by the way, Ferris, did you get to hear the episode that my daughter, Lydia Rose Taylor, was on?
Yeah, man, I listened to both parts, part one and part two. She's a great young lady.
Yes, she is, Ferris. I agree with you. Well, so, Ferris, new year, new beginnings, new stuff. Do you have anything that you want to share with all of us?
Matter of fact, I do, man. All right. I'm going to read from a book I'm reading through right now. It's called Jat 365.
That's my book, Jat 365, 365 Daily Inspirations for the Pursuit of Your Dreams. You know, we just celebrated, I believe, the 10th anniversary of my book.
Yeah, man, I know. I've been reading through it again as a celebration.
So you're reading the book, and what day are you on?
I'm on day 23.
Day 23. And you know the thing I always say, so if you don't know about my book, it's a daily kind of journal and devotional, and you can read through each day, but you don't have to do every single day in a row. I numbered it. I didn't date it, you know, like January 1st or 2nd or whatever, or Tuesday or any of that. I did it purposely to where there's just days in it, because realistically, myself personally, I don't go through devotionals every single day. There's days I miss. There's days I take off. So for this, yes, technically you could do it every day of the year, 365, and there's one for every day of the year if you so choose. But you go through the book. I have a copy of it right here as well, Ferris. So I'm going to turn to page 23 and take a look and see what. Oh, it says day 23, want versus need. You want? I'll let you read it, Ferris. Okay.
Yeah, man. All right. Here we go. Want versus need. Think of the things that control you the most. The want of money, fame, recognition, love. Now replace them with thoughts of doing for others, or what's been done for you, man.
Does it say man at that?
No, man, I'm adding that.
All right.
We are all crying out to be heard, man. Hear more than yourself and feel the weight of it.
Oh, that's hear more than yourself and feel the weight of it. I look at some of this stuff and I go, wow, that was pretty good. Who wrote that? Oh, it was me. Ah, come on. Okay. And so then in the book, what it does is it gives you this little positive thing. And then up at the top, it says accept, forward, and practice. So you read it. And if you agree with what was written, you check off the little box that says accept. And then you forward it, meaning you pay it forward. You send that off to somebody. You could take a picture of the book. You could do a, you know, a screenshot and send it off to a friend as a kind of a little thing for them for the day. And then you put it into practice throughout your day. So think of the things that control you the most. So let's all think about that, the things that control us the most. There are so many things that I deal with, that I struggle with. I'm a people pleaser. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be okay. And, you know, you could say, well, that's a good thing. Yes, but it can control you too, because I have to learn to let go of things, right?
Yeah, man, you can't let that stuff control you.
That's right, Ferris. I agree. So it goes on to say the want of money, fame, recognition, or even love. See, that's kind of where I would fall. And, you know, obviously also being an actor, I have an ego. I want, you know, recognition. And being a voice actor, you learn that you're never really going to get all the recognition that you expect. Although these days, more of you do appreciate all of us as voice actors. I mean, all of you listening to this show, because you love voice acting. And so I'm very appreciative of that. So it says to think of all of those things that you want the most, okay? or that control you the most, I should say, the things that control you the most. When you wake up and or you lay your head down at night and you're thinking of all these things that you want to try to control, right? Think of all of those. It could be money. It could be fame. It could be recognition. It could be love. It could be whatever. And then I say, now replace them with thoughts of doing for others or what has been done for you. So think about, okay, all this stuff that I really would like, but I want to think about doing things for other people, or I want to think about the things that have been done for me. All the amazing, wonderful things that have been done for me, either by my family or friends or all of you, just your kindness, right? We're all crying out to be heard. Isn't that true? I think never more true. Even before, 10 years plus years ago when I wrote this, that was very true. But I think it's even more true now that we are all crying out to be heard because the world has gotten crazier and crazier. And so then the last thing I say is hear more than yourself and feel the weight of it. You know what that kind of goes back to? It goes back to know more than you want to know. And know what you believe and why you believe it. So don't just hear your own stuff. Stop, look around, take in the world that is happening around you. Feel the weight of other people's lives in your life, right? And so then at the end, I say respond. And there's a little spot in the bottom of the book, and you can write a comment because I ask you a question every day. And so what's the question there, Ferris?
Yeah, man, it says, what negatively controls you?
Man.
What? No, it doesn't say man at the end.
No, I was being funny.
All right, man.
Okay. What negatively controls you? There are all sorts of things that control us. The want for control, I think, too, right? What negatively controls J-A-T? Well, sometimes it's ego. Sometimes it's the desire to do so much for so many or for my family or to make sure that everybody's okay. Those are the things that kind of plague me. I want to make sure everybody's okay. But you know what I have to realize? That's not in my control. That's in God's hands, right? And that is up for each one of us to discover that on our own. So I can't control. I think that's very important, especially for those of us with a faith. You know, I have a Christian faith. A lot of you may not have Christian faith. You may have another faith. But the things that negatively control us is this desire to put our belief system on somebody else. I think it's one of the things that turns people off from Christianity is that pushing or desire for people to know and believe the way you do. And it's very hard because you go, yeah, but I feel like I got this kind of figured out and I want other people to feel that way. So, but that can become a negative very easily. So we have to allow these things to not control us, but we have to give them up, right? So, Ferris, I'm really glad that you brought up old JAT365. That's pretty cool. I appreciate that. I'm humbled that you are reading the book again.
Yeah, man, I go through it a lot. I dig it. Pretty good book there, JAT.
Well, thanks, Ferris. I'm going to let you get back to things over the billiard zone. Is it crowded over there right now? Are people shooting pool? There's a lot of stuff going on?
Yeah, there's always some characters hanging out.
All right. Well, then maybe Billy and Hank and all of us will come out there and shoot some pool later today, even though we have a pool table here.
Yeah, man, that'd be great. I'd love to see you. Hang in there, brother.
All right, you too. Thanks so much, Ferris. We'll talk to you later.
See you, dude.
And there's Ferris. Thanks for dialing him up there, guys. That was fun. And he reminded us about JAT365. Look at that. You know, JAT365 is my book, and it is available on Amazon.com. I say that, you know, because it's a shameless plug, as we say. But I think a lot of folks have read this book. It's amazing how many people... I self-published this book. I just did it on my own. Some of you may have copies, by the way. I noticed that Amazon had a mess up on some of the copies, where in the back, the end of the book, I write a couple of pages of stuff, and they ended up, or I think maybe in the front they did, in the introduction, yeah, they messed up and they reprinted on a couple pages the same stuff, they like duplicated. So if you see that, that wasn't me messing up, that was an actual printing mess up at Amazon, but they corrected it on a lot of them. If you have one of those ones that isn't like that, hey, save it. Maybe it's worth something now because it's rare, but I don't know. And if you ever come to a Comic-Con, and you have a copy of the book, and you know I'm going to be there, bring it. I'll sign that one for free. So bring it out there, and we'll sign your book, and then we'll give you some other, you know, fun things. We'll do a selfie or something like that. And I hope that I get to see some of you. I'm sure I've already seen some of you, because the show has been going on now for a little while, and we are having a great time with it. And it is wonderful to be back doing this stuff. Now, you know, the other thing I did recently is I put a post out on my social media, on my Instagram, saying that if you have questions that you want answered on the JackCast, to write them in the comments below. And look at this. There's so many of them already. Let's go to some of these. You know, so when we used to do it with emails, we would have Bob come in. He's Billy's uncle, right? He's your uncle, right, Billy?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's my uncle. That's right, Mr. James. He's my uncle, Uncle Bob.
Bob's your uncle. Well, see, that's... And Bob's your uncle. Right there, mate. All right. Okay. I kind of did like a weird, almost Australian British voice. I'm sorry. For all of you on the other side of the pond, I apologize for that. That was a bad accent. But Bob's your uncle is, okay, I explain it every single time. And then when I say, hey, Bob, we had a listener I know that had a dog named Bob. And whenever I go, hey, Bob, their dog would hear that and go crazy. Like, who's he doing? How is that happening? Let's bring in Bob, and Bob will answer some of these comments on Instagram. Hey, Bob! Hey, Bob!
Oh, yes, indubitably, indubitably-doo. Hello, James. Happy New Year to you. It's a little late for Happy New Year. I know, but I'm just saying it anyways. Okay, all right. Are you doing well? Oh, indubitably-doo, indubitably-dee. Yes, I'm having a good time, and I'm trying to kind of take in all the different comments. You have many, many comments and many, many questions of people asking things on your Instagram in the comments from where you posted that.
Okay, well, very good. Where do you want to start?
Well, I'm just going to look right here. I see. This is from the, Duchess Cosplay.
Duchess Cosplay. Let's take a look at Duchess Cosplay. I know Duchess Cosplay. The Manchester contingent. That's right. That is home of Annie and Jonathan. She's wonderful. Annie dressed as the Duchess Satine. Annie was at the Chattanooga Comic-Con last year, and she came out. They flew from Manchester, the other side of the world, basically, to come see myself and Anna Graves, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and the Duchess Satine. They flew all the way out to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to come see us. And Annie and Jonathan, was dressed as Obi-Wan beautifully, both wonderful cosplays. And Annie did all of these cosplays. She made them. They're fantastic. Look her up on Instagram. It's Duchess_cosplay. Duchess_cosplay. So cool. Wonderful, and they were the sweetest people in the world. So hello there, Duchess.
Yes, there you go.
So Duchess Cosplay asks questions, right, Bob? What does she ask?
Oh, yes, indubitably. She says, in your career as a voice actor, have you ever experienced a rejection or disappointment that was very challenging? If so, what helped you to keep moving forwards? What advice would you give to both new and seasoned individuals in this regard?
You know, my dear Duchess, that's a wonderful, wonderful question. I do think of many things, and there are many. So years ago, when I had black toxic mold poisoning, when I got stachybotrys, I got exposed to black mold, lost my voice. I managed, by the grace of God, to keep most of my voiceover jobs. And the one that I lost at the time was Captain Jack Sparrow for Disney. I was Johnny Depp's double for the Kingdom Hearts, mate. I did all of Captain Jack Sparrow, mate, and all of that. And I was still kind of learning the voice and what he was doing with it. And my voice wasn't able at the time to get deep enough from the mold. I was a little hazy in parts. And so my voice was up too high. I was doing Jack Sparrow up here, and I couldn't get it down into the place where if I was doing, why is the rum gone? If I was doing Johnny Depp doing Captain Jack Sparrow, mate, I would do it there, savvy. But I couldn't get it there, you see, mate. I couldn't do it. And so at the time, I lost that job. And so that was kind of heartbreaking. Since I've been able to be Johnny's double for many other things, the Mad Hatter, Willy Wonka, and some other little bits and pieces in movies and such. But at the time, I did miss and lose that job, and it was very disappointing. So what you do, and I've been the voice of Fred Flintstone off and on for many years, and then I've lost that voice at times. And so I don't mean I lost my voice. I mean I lost the job of being the voice of that. And so you try to just go, you know, I'm a performer. And I'm here to perform, and sometimes I'm the right guy, and sometimes I'm not. As an actor, you have to have thick skin. You have to learn. What I mean by that is you have to learn to kind of roll with the punches and just know that sometimes a director's going to be on your side and sometimes they're not, or a casting person is and they're not going to. And so what advice would I give to both new and seasoned individuals in this regard? Love the moments you have in those characters. And then the moments you don't get as them, know that perhaps it's preparing you for another season in your life or another time to come back and do it. Who knows? Maybe I'll get to do Captain Jack Sparrow for them some other time, right? Whoever's doing it now is doing a fantastic job anyway. So the nice thing, the positive thing about that is it kind of goes back to what we were reading with Ferris there, is I'm glad somebody else got the job. Because, you know, the truth is, I have been very, very, very blessed to work on many different things in my career. Not everybody gets those opportunities. So I don't know who replaced me as Captain Jack, but maybe that was like their first gig doing something, or they were, you know, new to voiceover and it got them in the door. So I'd like to think that maybe my missing that opportunity helped someone else get an opportunity. Does that help, my dear Duchess? Does that help? I hope so. And then there was just there's another tack on that question, right, Bob?
Oh, yes. And she says, if you could add one character from The Lord of the Rings into the Star Wars universe, who would it be? And that's from my husband, Jonathan, who doesn't have Instagram, is asking that.
Okay. Well, first off, tell Jonathan slash Obi-Wan, hello there. If I could add one character from The Lord of the Rings into the Star Wars universe, who would it be? Oh, man. You know, I love Legolas. I do. I love Legolas. I thought that that character is just so cool. Wouldn't it be cool if he had lightsaber arrows? Ooh, I don't know. Has anybody ever said that or thought of that? I don't know. Maybe you all have before, but boy, wouldn't that be Legolas, Jedi Legolas with lightsaber bow and arrows. Of course, the kyber crystals in them, though, you know, you'd have to like, you don't want to lose all those kyber crystals, but that would be really awesome, wouldn't it? Of course, I guess you could say that's just like a blaster, but no, it's not, of course. Blasters are clumsy. We don't like blasters. So I hope, Jonathan, I hope that answers your question. That's a good question. All right, who else we got, Bob? This is fun. I love getting back to answering your questions all here on the James Arnold Taylor Podcast. We having a good time? Good. Let's breathe. Ooh, let's drink some more water, though, huh? Okay, Hank, you got to hit the thing when I say let's drink some more.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, there we go.
Thank you.
It's time to drink some water. That's good water.
That is good water. Man. Okay, what else we got, Bob? Ooh, the Star Wars Old Republic Radio. Star Wars Old Republic Radio. Okay, hang on. They are wonderful folks. Star Wars Old Republic Radio, a Star Wars podcast. These are some of the sweetest folks ever. I got to meet all of them at a couple of two or three cons? Were you all at a few Comic Cons with us this last year, and I bet I'll see you all again. So if you don't know about Star Wars Old Republic Radio, a Star Wars podcast, take a listen, follow them. Follow them on Instagram, Star Wars_Old_Republic_Radio. And it's a Star Wars podcast. Look them up and follow them and listen to their podcast. They're good folks over there. Okay, what are they asking, Bob?
Oh, yeah, and dibbity-doo, they say, hey, James.
Hey,
so looking forward to the JatCast returning. Did you find it intimidating in any way when taking on the voice role of Obi-Wan Kenobi for the Clone Wars?
Did I find it intimidating? You know, I think what's interesting about that question is that there are layers and layers to that question, and there's years and years, because yes, initially right off the bat, what I found was I was excited. I was excited that I was going to get to do Star Wars in animation and that they were doing an animated Star Wars. Now, it wasn't Star Wars, the Clone Wars that we know. It was the original Clone. Well, we all know the micro series by now, too. I think a lot of people know Clone Wars, the micro series. Genndy Tartakovsky's version of Clone Wars that was before Dave Filoni's version of Clone Wars. They were traditional 2D animation. They were on Cartoon Network. They were 3 minutes long. And at the time, it was a great way for me to come in to the character of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, I listen back to those, I watch those, and my Obi-Wan, I think, is terrible, quite frankly. I don't know, I hadn't gotten the voice just right yet, in my opinion. That's my opinion. But I enjoy those tremendously. I love the micro series. I think it's wonderful, it's well done. But for me, in my own performance, I kind of go, yeah, you know, I could have done better. but there are layers. So I found it intimidating because I was still kind of discovering the voice and what Ewan McGregor was doing and how he was taking off of Alec Guinness's voice. And so I'm doing, as I've said many, many times before, an impression of Ewan McGregor doing Alec Guinness doing Obi-Wan Kenobi. So at the time of the beginning of that 20 plus years ago, when I started doing it, it was intimidating. But then Clone Wars, the animated series that we all know and love now, comes out 5 years later, or however many years later it was, 3 or 4 years later, I guess. I don't know. We started it in like 2005, you know, so it was intimidating on a new level. But the nice thing that pulled back some of that was Dave Filoni and George Lucas both were very vocal to say to all of us, don't worry about it. You know, many times, I've mentioned this before, many times, Dave Filoni was always saying, you don't need to make this sound exactly like you, and this needs to be your Obi-Wan. And so that's where my Obi-Wan Kenobi came from. Now, a lot of people say that I sound like Ewan, and I hope I do, but I also hope that I sound a bit like old, hello there, you know, Alec Guinness. And so there's a combination of the two when I do my version of Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's his own version. And so now I find that Ewan McGregor has returned to the role. I find that there is some pressure. I still get to do Obi-Wan from time to time on little things here and there, you know, cartoons or various things, Lego and all of that. And so when I do, I think a bit about it more. I've done a lot of old Ben Kenobi now for Lego and such as well, and some other things. And so when I'm doing those, I do find it to be intimidating in a new way. I want to get it right. And I want to do justice to it. And it's very tricky being the voice of such an iconic character that started, one, with Sir Alec Guinness back in the original Star Wars, A New Hope, and, of course, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and then all those years later in the prequels, and then Ewan McGregor. So I would not be Obi-Wan Kenobi without Ewan McGregor. So I'm incredibly grateful for Ewan McGregor playing that part. And then me being able to be blessed to play the part for all these years. And it's strange because I've been this voice for so many years. But now he's back. He's returned to the character. And now it's interesting. I see things now, artwork and stuff out there. And they do like the Clone Wars. And they're putting the face of Ewan McGregor on and Hayden and Rosario over these new Clone Wars pieces of art. They're putting their faces on stuff. And, you know, to a degree, it's a little odd for us because now it's almost like we've kind of handed it back to them and they're doing the versions of the characters now. So when I do it, it can be more intimidating because I just want to get it right. I want to make sure that I'm paying proper homage to the character. So I hope that answers your question. Star Wars Old Republic Radio, thank you so much. Doing doobity-dee. Okay, yes. Let's see. We've got a lot of questions here, don't we? Yes. Oh, here's one from your friend Brandon, the Random Gamer. Brandon the Random Gamer, that's his handle on Instagram, Brandon the Random Gamer. Brandon, I talked about, I believe Lydia and I, my daughter and I, spoke about that a couple of episodes back. Brandon is a wonderful young man from Canada, and he had a big fan of my book and all of that, and he's asked a question here. What does Brandon ask, Bob? Oh, yes, he says, hello there, James. Oh, you should do your Obi-Wan Kenobi, Bob. Oh, I don't think I could. Hello there. Oh, that's very good. You sounded just like him. Oh, thank you. I wanted to ask you this one in person, but there was a lot I had to share. Oh, so when he saw me in Canada at Toronto Comic-Con Fan Expo in Toronto, he wanted to ask this question for me in person, but now he's getting to ask it here on the show. Yes, indubitably, yes, that's right. He says, if you could give us any insight regarding Ratchet & Clank, Life of Pi, the wonderfully done animated short. It was surprisingly exclusive to us Canadians at a certain point via Crave Streaming Service. Crave Streaming Service. Oh, that's where, yeah, so, okay. Well, I'll let you finish. Go ahead and finish. Oh, yeah, yes, it says, many fans, myself included, really enjoyed this short and thought the jokes and writing were incredible. It just seems like it was released with little fanfare. Could you share anything that you were told about this short or if it even might have led to a TV show, perhaps? Okay, so Brandon is talking about Ratchet & Clank Life of Pi, and this was a television pilot that we did David Kay and Jim Ward and Armin Shimmerman and myself, we did this. The folks that do all the voices in Ratchet and Clank. I'm Ratchet, of course. David Kay is Clank. Jim Ward was fantastic as the voice of Captain Quark for so many years, and Jim has since retired now. Armin Shimmerman, who is just, oh my goodness, I love Armin Shimmerman. What an amazing actor. And he is Dr. Nefarious. It is amazing to watch him perform. We never really got to do these. When we recorded the games, we didn't record together. We would always record separately for video games. That's how you do it. But when we did the movie and when we did this pilot for the TV show, Life of Pi, we were all in the room together. And to watch Armin doing Dr. Nefarious, he's insane. And it's just, he's screaming at the top of his lungs doing all of that all the time. Well, Ratchet, you know, he's fantastic. I love it. So we did Life of Pi, 1 30-minute pilot for a TV show, and it never went anywhere. It was very sad. It was exclusive, as Brandon said, in Canada. I believe you can see it on YouTube. If you look up Ratchet and Clank Life of Pi, and it's their quest for the perfect pizza pie in the galaxy. It was just kind of a funny little, and then they get off on an adventure and stuff. So we recorded that over the course of a couple of days, Brandon. It was all done at Atlas Oceanic in Burbank, California. My good friend Devin, who owns the studio out there, I love Devin, and they recorded us doing that. It was a lot of fun. It was Chris Zimmerman was our director, and Chris, she has directed me for so many years. She's directed me as Fred Flintstone. She's directed me as Gabe Logan. You know Gabe Logan, the Siphon Filter series? You all know the game Siphon Filter? I don't know if you know this. I was the second voice of Gabe Logan. I did like 3 or 4 Siphon Filter games. So I was the second voice. I think there were 1 or 2 games that came in before me.
And I was Gabe Logan, and Gabe Logan talked like this, and he was kind of a tough guy.
He sounds, you know, he sounds kind of like Mr. Announcer Guy's brother, Jake, the announcer guy. Hey, Jake!
Yes, James.
You sound kind of like Gabe Logan.
Do I? That's exciting.
Yes, it is. Okay, thanks so much.
I'm going to go now.
There he goes. Okay. So Gabe Logan, yeah, I don't know. Oh, Chris Zimmerman. So Chris Zimmerman was the director, and she's directed me on all sorts of things like that. And she's directed the last few Ratchet and Clank games and stuff too. So she directed Life of Pi. And I thought it was really fun. I think that Ratchet and Clank could still be, I thought the movie was really good. If you haven't seen the Ratchet and Clank movie, do me a favor, watch it. It's on Netflix, I believe. And boy, I got to tell you what, I think it's a fun movie, and I don't think it got enough attention, but it was a very sweet movie. Well done. We had a lot of fun doing it. And then Life of Pi, a fun little thing. I don't know, maybe it's 15, 20 minutes. It was a pilot for a TV series. So I don't know if I can give you much more insight than that, Brandon. We recorded it. It was the last thing we did with Jim Ward before he retired. And we had a wonderful time doing that all in the studio together. It was very rare for us to all be in the studio together. David Kay and I are just dear friends. He really is my buddy, Clank. And we just enjoyed. We laughed. We just had a great time doing it all. And we were really hopeful at the time that it was going to turn into a TV series. So I don't know. Maybe if all of you kind of get out there and start a campaign, maybe something will happen. Who knows? I'm hoping that we do another version of Ratchet and Clank. We had Rift Apart, the game that came out, and that was so cool. And I'm hoping that we get to do some more of it. So there you go. All right, Bob, let's try to see if we can get through a couple more of these comments and questions, and then we'll see what happens. Oh, indubitably, indubitably too. This one comes from Ryan RPM5. Ryan RPM5. That's cool. Okay, do I know Ryan? Let's see. Ryan Permison. Ryan, I'm sorry, I'm not pronouncing your name right. Ryan Permison? 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 I'm giving you all sorts of... Podcast host, producer of, and I quote, Ryan's Reviews and Comic Books, the new class featured on YouTube. New videos every week, link in bio. Look at that. Okay, Ryan. Ryan asks a question. What is Ryan asking, Bob? Oh, this is a good one. It says, what are 5 movies you can watch anytime and why? And what is your favorite motivational quote and why? So there's several questions there. Okay, let's go backwards, Bob. Oh, indubitably, indubitably do. What is my favorite motivational quote and why? There's a lot of them. So on my stage show that I do, Talking to Myself, it's the same name as this podcast. I have, at the end of the show, I have all these quotes. And there are many, many. So there's so many that I can think of that really mean something to me at different times, right? I think of the C.S. Lewis quote that the cure for broken dreams is to dream bigger and more. I'm kind of not getting that quote right, but that one is a favorite quote of mine. I love Bible verses are things that are, but those aren't quotes, I suppose. I mean, they could be. There's so many quotes. You know, one of them is one of the Walt Disney ones I was reading recently, and it said, let me see. Oh, I might even have it here. Let's see. Whatever you do, do it well. Do it so well that when people see you do it, they will want to come back and see you do it again. And they will want to bring others and show them how well you do what you do. Isn't that true? That's kind of like what I did with my stage show when I was doing that at Disney and such. It was one of those things where it ended up being a show that people at first were like, well, what is this? If people didn't know who I was, and they're like, oh, you got to see it. You know, you got to kind of experience it for yourself. That has been kind of my career, the movies, the things that I do. I feel like it's always that where people are always going like, I didn't know what to expect, but boy, I really loved it. So that's a quote from Walt Disney. I thought that one's a pretty good one. I don't know if it's my absolute favorite. There's a wonderful quotes from C.S. Lewis. There's wonderful quotes from all sorts of people that I love. But so there's one for you, Ryan. And then your other question was, what was it, Bob?
What are five movies you can watch anytime and why?
Five movies I can watch anytime and why? Okay, Raiders of the Lost Ark, of course. And why? Because I think it's one of the greatest movies ever made. It's a perfect movie as far as all the beats go, action, adventure, comedy, drama, everything, Marvel, wonder. It is a wonderful movie. Raiders of the Lost Ark, the very first one. I love that movie. Of course, Star Wars, A New Hope, you know. I'm giving you the obvious ones first, that's two. But then another one that I love is called Return to Me. And it is a wonderful romantic comedy with David Duchovny and Minnie Driver and Carol O'Connor. And it's written by Bonnie Hunt and Don Lake. It is so great. If you don't know the movie Return to Me, look it up, watch it. It is a wonderful, delightful romantic comedy. It's so sweet. My wife and I love that movie. It's one of our favorites because it's just sweet. It's wonderful. That's why. Let's see. That's three. I love Defending Your Life by Albert Brooks. I think that is just a funny, funny, very just comical, funny movie. It makes you think it's certainly not, it doesn't go along with my Christian faith as far as the whole setup of the movie, but I think it's very funny. And I think it does make you think about who you are and how you want to be in life. Let's see, another one. One of my other favorite movies, it's probably not that politically correct anymore, is the movie Arthur. I love the movie Arthur with Dudley Moore, the original one with John Gielgud and Dudley Moore. It's where I learned so much about comedy from watching the two of them, and their dry sense of British humor is just fantastic. I love all of that. So I love those movies. I love Jaws. Jaws is one of my favorites because it's terrifying, but it is also a near perfect, if not a perfect movie. It really is. So many good movies. That's a great question, Ryan. I love that. Thanks for asking that. Hey, we've got so many of your questions here. Look at this. I mean, gosh, man, I'm scrolling through here, Bob, and boy, we've got so many good ones. And okay, read that one there, Bob.
Ooh, this one right here. Yes, from Most Things Kenobi.
That's right, from Most Things Kenobi. We love the folks in Most Things Kenobi. And what do they ask?
Yes, in DVD and DVD, they say, so excited for the JatCast return. Is there any accent you really struggle with? You have such an amazing vocal range, I can't imagine you struggle with anything. Follow-up question, would you like to come back on our podcast sometime? Sending you and your family lots of good wishes.
Yes. Okay. Well, to the follow-up question, yes, I will come back to Most Things Kenobi anytime. And I should come back and we'll talk about my movie. We'll talk about this coming year and some fun stuff. So yes, 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 we will do that. We'll figure that out soon. But so the question is there any accent I really struggle with? You know, there are actually several. It's interesting. I'm about to do a thing tomorrow where I am they asked me to do a Cockney accent, and I had to call the folks up. It's an on-camera thing I'm doing. And I said to them, here's the deal. I can give you a Cockney accent, but a true Cockney accent is really tough. And you have to skip a lot of things. You have to replace a lot of words with other words because of the thickness of it. And so I said to them, do you really want a Cockney accent? Because now For some of you may know, I was Dick Van Dyke's voice double for the Mary Poppins stuff. And he famously has like one of the worst Cockney accents ever. He goes in and out of it. So Dick Van Dyke talks like this. He's a Mary Poppins. So he's like, he starts with a Cockney accent. And then by the time he gets to Poppins, he's an American, you know, Mary Poppins. You know, when you with Mary Poppins, you know, and he's just doing this really bad Cockney accent. So when people think of Americans doing Cockney accents, you don't want it to be like that, right? So you got to be able to do a proper Cockney accent, right? And so I was telling the people that it could be tricky, you see, because I want to do it proper and all, right? So that one's a tricky one to do because it takes a lot of, and I'm going to be reading on a teleprompter. So as you're reading, you have to kind of translate. So it's, I'm going to go with you back home. I would say, right, I'm going to go with you back home, eh? So you wouldn't say with, you'd say with. You wouldn't say home, you'd say ohm, right? So you have to translate as you go. So that one is tricky. Australian accents, those are tough because I usually kind of go in and out of it as I'm doing it. Good eye, mate. You know, you want to make it sound great. I don't always do great with that. Scottish and Irish, again, you have to really watch it. It takes more concentration than just doing a straight up British accent. Although, you know, the truth is I know that I've some people have commented too, that there's some things that I would say as Obi-Wan that I wasn't getting the accent right on. And that's just because I am not trained in any way, shape or form. I've never taken a class on any of it. Nobody's ever taught me. I go by ear. And so when I do a British accent, I just kind of put on a British accent. I do what I think. And then you try to sell it the best you can, right? So there's variations of that. You could do a Liverpudlian accent and you could talk like this all day, right? Yeah, you could do that whole thing. So there's some that are really fun to do, yeah? Gil Fab, right? Yeah. And then there's others that are just tricky to do. So there are different ones. French accent, you know, you can do a French accent and sometimes it can be tricky to do. You know what I'm saying? So there's variations of accents and just different parts, trying to get like the different places somebody is. It's just like here, somebody's from New York, right? They have an American accent, but they got a New York American accent. So it's just finding those little things. I struggle with some of those sometimes. That's a good question. And that's a good one to leave off on. Thanks, Bob, for asking all those questions. We've still got a ton more questions that we're going to answer, right?
Oh, and doobity-dee and doobity-doo, there's plenty here. And I'm sure by the next time you record, there'll be even more.
I'm sure you're right. There's going to be a lot of them on there. Thank you all. So we'll post every once in a while on my Instagram. And if you have questions that you want to ask me, post your questions there, and then we'll answer them here on the podcast. But that was great fun. That's how we're going to do it instead of doing emails. And it still gives us that opportunity. And if you have something special that you want to say in that, you can say it in those comments there as well. And Bob will find those and he'll read through them for us and we'll say them here on the podcast. So hopefully we got to answer some of your questions there. I know we didn't get to all of them, but Bob, we are wrapping up for this episode of the James Arnold Taylor Podcast. We've had a good time though, haven't we?
Oh, and doobity-dee and doobity-doo.
How about you guys, Hank? You having a good time?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was great. I like hearing all the people and stuff. Yeah. But nobody asked again, you know, hey, hello, hello, Hank.
No, they didn't. You know, Hank, that goes back to the thing that Ferris read. Don't make everything about you.
Whatever. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. All right, guys. Hey, thanks so much for being here with the James Arnold Taylor Podcast. We're going to come back and do some more Q&A or answer your questions. We're going to do some more talk about other things. And I just am blessed to be with you. I hope you are blessed to be with me here enjoying the show. And we'll see you next time. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Mr. Announce Guy. Yes, come on in and do that legal mumbo jumbo.
Talking to Myself, the James Arnold Taylor Podcast is a production of Yumigo Inc., recorded at Chat Studios. Engineered, written, recorded, and produced by, you guessed it, James Arnold Taylor. All voices are parody and should be construed as entertainment only. All music and sound effects used with permissions and licenses through Backtracks, Digital Juice, Production Tracks, and Partners in Rhyme. James Arnold Taylor's Talking to Myself, the Podcast, copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
There it is. Okay, everybody, we'll see you next time here on the James Arnold Taylor Podcast. Goodbye.